Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church, and I'd like to welcome live in the studio tonight Jamie Stewart, the famous author of the Glasgow Gospel, a Glasgow Bible, Old Testament Tales, Proverbs in the Patter, his autobiography, and since then he's become famous through his tapes, videos, CDs, and he's now bringing out a DVD. So, Jamie, welcome to the studio. It's nice to have you in Saltcoats. Yeah, you were doing a gig last night in Saltcoats, I understand.
That's right, yes, and it was very successful. It's nice to be here, Alec, it really is. It's nice to be with you again, sir.
Good. The gig I refer to was our Holy Week programme down at Saltcoats North Parish Church, where he wooed them and wowed them, as usual. Jamie and I go back over 26 years. In my four different churches, I've had him as a regular guest. And it's great getting the gospel put into Glaswegian and local parlance. So he's become a number one bestseller, and he's travelled round the world with his Glasgow gospel. So just to set us in the mood and to understand a bit more of what we're talking about, would you like to give us a wee sample of the Bible in Glaswegian then?
Yes, by all means, Alan. I'd like to refer to my presentation as the language of the people, the vernacular which is spoken all over Scotland, not specifically from Glasgow, although I was born in Glasgow and I'm proud to be a Glaswegian. So here we are. Thanks, Alec. Here's the creation section from my publication, A Glasgow Bible. It was a long time ago, right enough. Thousands and thousands of years since. There was nothing where the earth is the new. Absolutely nothing at all. Well, no, God says to himself one day, I'll fix a wee bit of the land down there. So, to start with, God ordered up some light to break out our all the darkness. He then made the skies and the dry land and gathered up the waters and the seas. He gave them all names. And when they made a do, two muckle orbs appeared, the sun and the moon, to give light to the earth both day and night. A wee while later, God made thousands of bright stars to twinkle in the dark of the night. The Maker was fair pleased with it all. Now then, he says, we'll have ourselves some life about the place. He gave out mere orders for the earth to burst forth with trees and bright wee flowers. He filled all the waters full of fish. He made birds to fly in the skies and sing sweetly among the trees. It was a brilliant world that God was starting off, and he felt sure he was meant a good job of it. However, no matter how good it was, the land still lay empty. So God made hundreds of different beasts, lions and tigers, giraffes and gazelles, grinning hyenas, dogs and frogs, big roaring bulls and huge hippopotami. Oh, and thousands of wee creeping craters. God then made folk to look like himself, man and woman together. They'll have hearts and minds to love me, God says. I'm going to put them in charge of this whole world to keep it in fine fettle. The Lord beamed with gladness at his work. By this time it was the seventh day, and the Almighty was due for a wee rest. Amen.
Right, thanks very much, Jamie. And I'm going to rise to your challenge to try and match what you read with some music.
Okay.
So that was Creation. Here's Ian White singing It Takes an Almighty Hand.
It takes an almighty hand to make your harvest grow. It takes an almighty hand, however you may sow. It takes an almighty hand, the world around me shows. It takes the almighty hand of God. It takes his hand to grow your garden, all from a secret in a seed. Part of a plan he spoke and started, and said is very good indeed. It takes an almighty hand to make your harvest grow. It takes an almighty hand, however you may sow. It takes an almighty hand, the world around me shows. It takes the almighty hand of God. It takes his hand to turn the seasons, to give the sun and snow their hour. And in this plan we learn his reason, his nature and eternity. It takes an almighty hand to make your harvest grow. It takes an almighty hand, however you may sow. It takes an almighty hand, the world around me shows. It takes the almighty hand of God. It took his hand to carry sorrow for every sin that we. And on the cross he bore tomorrow, a world of good like he'd begun. It takes an almighty hand to make your harvest grow. It takes an almighty hand, however you may sow. It takes an almighty hand, the world around me shows. It takes the almighty hand of God. And in his hands there is perfection that in this land we only taste. For now we see a poor reflection, then we shall see him face to face. It takes an almighty hand.
So Jamie, tell us a bit of how you got involved with, where did you get this inspiration for putting the Bible into Glaswegian?
Certainly, Alec. Well, the trigger really for all this activity, I reckon, started in 1981 when I attended the Edinburgh Festival. I saw the famous English Shakespearean actor Alec McCowan. He had memorized the whole of Mark's Gospel in the Authorized Version, and I was greatly impressed. And I remembered that when I was a young man, many years ago, I had been a professional actor in the Citizens Theatre, and I thought I'd like to do something similar. So over a period of 2 years, I combined the four Gospels into one single story, and I called it A Scots Gospel. And that was in the Good Scots tongue, and that was reasonably successful. And then the Church of Scotland asked me to do it, would I do it in the Glasgow vernacular? Well, I wasn't too sure about that, but anyway, I took up the challenge and I presented the Glasgow Gospel, and that seemed reasonably successful, and I took it from there.
What's your sort of aim in all of this? What are you trying to achieve?
Excellent question. Well, I was brought up in the Church of Scotland in Glasgow, and I love the Lord, and my whole core theme activity is to praise the Lord and to spread the good news from the good book.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, how about giving us another sample? And understand this is going to be Joseph the slave, and you need an assistant like Potiphar's wife. And you've managed to chat up my wife, Patricia Noble, and get her into this dubious role.
That's correct. Yes, well, welcome to the studio, Patricia. I love you, and thank you for your offer of coming into this drama. So here we go for Joseph the slave. Now, you all can find the story of Joseph and his technicolor dream coat. And you know that his jealous brothers plunked him down the well, and then they decided to sell him. So they hunked him up again, and when traders came along, they decided to sell their brother. So let's take it from there. When the traders got to Egypt, they put Joseph up for grabs at the first slave auction. Since he was a stocky, good-looking lad, he was snapped up by a captain of the king's guard, cried Potiphar. It wasn't long before Potiphar kent that he'd got himself a real bargain, for God was keeping an eye on Joe, and he blessed the house as the lad carried out all his duties. Joseph, it turned out, was an honest and smashing wee worker. "I'm sure that I can pit this slave to good use," Potiphar says to himself one day. "Joseph," he calls to the lad, you've been working well, son. I'm getting pleased with you. In fact, I'm so pleased with you that I'm promoting you to be my top man. What do you think of that? You'll get a royal jacket and be in charge of the running of my hill house, as well as my business."
I'll do my best to please you, sir," says Joseph.
Sadly, he didn't ken that big trouble was near at hand. It was all the fault of the captain's wife. Man, she was a brazen hussy, all right. Always eyeing up Joe's bra face and strapping body. When the time was ripe, and with nae trace of a red face, she gives Joe the come on and invites him to share her bed. Joseph refuses, but she pesters him until one day she sees her chance. Potiphar was away from home, and all the servants had finished up for the day.
"Joseph,"
says she, catching him on the hop,
"I'm asking you once more, will you lie with me?"
And she sidles up close to Joe and holds tight onto his jacket, a coy smile appearing on her face.
No way. And with due respect, my lady," stammers Joe, I couldn't do that to the captain. And will you ken that my God has got a good grip on me? I'll no stray from the straight and narrow."
And with that, Joe gives her a crafty body swerve, leaving the Jezebel with his jacket still warm in her horns. Now, as you can imagine, Potiphar's wife was billing and planned to get back at Joseph. When the captain came home that night, she had a mouthful of lies waiting for him.
"Do you ken that slave of yours?"
she screeched afore he'd even sat down.
"He came into my room the day and tried to rape me, so he did."
Ah, well, Potiphar was daft enough to believe his missus. He had poor Joseph flung into the royal jail and the smart jacket exchanged for an iron collar. Joseph now finds himself chained along with the other prisoners. But mind this, God is watching over him every minute of the day, and plans are well in hand for Joseph's future.
He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you.
God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Just like brother Joseph
has a plan for you.
God had a plan for Joseph. For his brothers left him, taken down to Egypt, looking for the captain, locked up in a prison. Although he was a good man, because the captain's lady told such lies about him. It was 2 years later, the Pharaoh had a strange dream. Someone sent for Joseph, for he can't tell the meaning. So Joseph met the Pharaoh, gave him a top position, ruling over Egypt in the time of famine. And Joseph met his brothers when they came down to Egypt. What they did in envy, the Lord had made a blessing. Oh, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you, just like brother Joseph. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. No matter what your name is.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie and Patricia, for that. Now, tell me a bit more about yourself, Jamie. Where were you born?
Well, I was born in the friendly city of Glasgow 88 years ago. Now, you're supposed to say, Alec, you don't look it, wee man.
No, you don't look 88. No. 98, 108, but
I've been blessed.
You're ever youthful. That's one of the amazing things about you. You're young not in years, but you're young in attitude.
I've been blessed, Alec. My old minister used to say, if life is good for you, don't say that you're fortunate or that you're lucky. Say that you've been blessed.
Yeah. So which part blessed. Of Glasgow was it you grew up in?
I was born in Cross Hill. Right. In Glasgow, in Kingarth Street. And I was there for 5 years, and then I was in Steps for 5 years, and then our family moved to Carntyne, and I've lived there for since then.
And is there anything significant in your childhood that you remember?
Yes. I was taken to Sunday school in Steps, and my father and mother were good Christian souls, and they brought me up in the faith, and I've never regretted that, and I'm a happy man.
Where did your dad work at?
My dad was in the fruit market for a while, and then he was an insurance agent.
All right. Now, in your own time, you've had many facets to your diamond. You've had a varied career. Would you like to share with us some of your previous jobs?
Certainly. Oh, my goodness. You might wish you didn't ask that question, because I've had a very varied life, Alec. I've been, in my time, I've been a newspaper delivery, an office boy, a blanket salesman, a gents outfitter. I was a wireless operator, air gunner for 5 years in the Royal Air Force. When I came out of the Air Force, I was a professional actor in the Citizen Theatre for 5 or 6 years, and then I was a salesman, and for the last 10 years of my working life, from 55 to 65, I was a social worker, and then I've been doing a bit of writing.
So your social work was as a child care officer?
A residential child care officer, indeed, that's right.
But you haven't mentioned you were an athlete of some significance?
Indeed, well, I always wanted to be a football player, but I couldn't even get into a five-a-side team because I was so bad. However, I found out that I could run. And I joined Shettleton Harriers, and I won a number of cross-country races. And in 1948, at Hampden Park, I won the Scottish 2 mile steeplechase championship.
Wow.
And I've run a few marathons since then in aid of charity, and I've been blessed with good health, and yes,
yeah.
I like running.
I think you're the fittest 88-year-old I've met. Anyway, and did you mention in that list you were a vacuum cleaner salesman?
I was, after when my late wife, I've been a widower for the last 26 years, and my good Lord has given me strength to come through my bereavement. And I'm a happy man. Not a happy man because I'm a widower, but I'm a happy man because I love the Lord. And talking about vacuum cleaners, yes, right, okay. my late wife was not very enchanted with the so-called glamour of the theatre, so I packed it up. And when I packed up the theatre, for a few years, I sold vacuum cleaners around the doors.
That's because she told you must get your act cleaned up.
That's right. So that, yes, I did. And I managed to make a living out of it, but in due course, my knuckles got a bit worn and I packed up selling vacuum cleaners.
So, and now you're an author and a broadcaster. So, would you like to give us, I think this is your own personal favourite one.
Oh, yes. I said I'd give you David. David Fights Goliath. Aye. Here's a wee bit from David Fights Goliath. Yes, this is my, I think this is my party piece, Alec. So, here we are. King Saul sends for Davy. Hold on, son. You can't fight Goliath. He'll crush you with one fell blow. You've got to bear in mind, son, that he's a giant as well as a soldier. Aye, but your majesty, says Davy, the Lord is on my side. I'm no fear to fight the Philistine. All I need is my sling and five smooth stones, and I'll kill him for sure. I ken that the Lord will be looking after me. I'll give the big man laldy. Very well, answered the king, shaking his head. God go along with you, son. Then he minded suddenly, oh, David, you'll be needing some armour. Here, try mine. Davy puts on the royal coat of mail, but the big helmet clanks down over his eyes and he can't budge with the weight of it. Okay, it's nae use, sir, Davy says, throwing off the helmet. I can't fight like this. I'll manage fine without the gear. So, Davy throws off the armour and runs out to a stream nearby to pick up five big chuckies for his sling. Goliath, the big man, doors up to Davy and looks him up and down. Then he wraps on his shield with the end of his spear. Are you the best they've got? He sneers. Well, come on then, you scrawny wee pluck. And by my in God dagger, I'll cut you up for the sparrows. No way, big man, Davy pipes up. It's your body that'll go to the birds. For I come in the name of Israel's God and he'll give me the upper hand the day. Fair roaring Banu Goliath moves in and Davy lets fly with his biggest chucky. It whisks through the air, smashing into the forehead of the big man. Goliath teeters for a wee bit and then crashes down to the ground flat in his face. And now to make sure wee Davy yells, he ran to the giant, hauled up the sword and sliced off his head. Amen.
Very good. It sort of brings it to life, does it not? So here's David and Goliath, sung by Ian White.
Well, I'm just a shepherd, David is my name. I live in a village called Bethlehem. My brothers are soldiers and they're fighting in the war. But I don't understand what the fighting is for. I don't understand what the fighting is for. I go to see my brothers and I bring them cheese and bread. I see Goliath and I hear the things he said. He's big and mean and ugly, he's a very wicked man. But I'm gonna get him if I can. I'm gonna get him if I can. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, I don't need spears, I don't need armor plate. If the Lord will deliver me, he'll do it anyway. I'd rather use something that I know. I take a little stone and here I go. I take a little stone and here I go. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Oh, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, and I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside.
Jamie, your various writings and broadcasts have taken off and you've become quite a success in that field. So could you tell us a bit more of how the success has been panning out? Have you travelled far and wide? And
yes, indeed. I've had invitations from many, many places. I'm happy to go out to speak to guilds. It's not women's guilds anymore because guilds are open to men and women. So I'm out at guilds and churches, schools, prisons, theatres. I'm here, there and everywhere. I've done two tours of Presbyterian churches in Canada and in New York State, and it's a joy for me to witness in that fashion. I also managed to write my own autobiography, would you believe, and it's entitled Will I Be Called an Author? My latest publication is called Proverbs in the Patter, would you believe? And
would you like to give us maybe a couple of samples?
Certainly, I will give you a couple of examples. What I've done is I've taken 150 of the Proverbs, and on the left-hand side of the page I've put the Authorised Version from the King James Version, and on the right-hand side my own rendering. So I'll give you a couple of examples, Alan. So from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, we have from the Authorised Version. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Rendering. A son who keeps the heed will please his father, but a rebel boy gives his maw a hard time. And let's say we go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Rendering. Then they might fringe wear short-tempered, buddy, and keep you to the road of the crabbit, or else you might copy them and get a girn about your face.
Can I just throw in another one for you?
Yes.
You read number 25 here.
Number 25, all right, by all means, number 25. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbour, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Rendering. To have stooshies with neighbours isn't very clever. Clever folk just hod their tongues.
Hod your waist, eh? So, let's get another sample from you then, from my Glasgow Bible. And this is the very famous sketch of the Good Samaritan.
Indeed, the Good Samaritan. One day, an expert lawyer tried to trick Jesus. He said to him, Master, I'm keen to have this everlasting life that God has promised. How do I get it? Jesus said, you have the answer right there in your law book, my friend. What does it say? And the lawyer replied, you've got to love the Lord God with your heart, soul, mind and strength, and you've got to love your neighbour just as well as you love yourself. No bad to Jesus, just like that, and you'll please God. But the lawyer wasn't contented with that and asked again, aye, but just exactly who is my neighbour? Jesus decided to illustrate his meaning with a wee story. One day he said, a man was travelling along the dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Suddenly some ruffians laid into him, whipped toys, gear and clays, and left the poor soul half dead. Now, a Jewish priest happened to be going on that same road. He sees the man lying there, turns his head and gives him a nifty body swerve. In the same way, a Levite comes on the scene, offers no help and just leaves the poor old punter lying there. Finally, a Samaritan comes along the road. He sees the man and is touched with pity. He goes out beside him, kneels down and cleans his wounds. Then he puts him in his own donkey and fixes him up at the nearest inn. He looks after him during the night and in the morning squares up with the innkeeper, promising to look in on his way back. Jesus then turned to the lawyer. Now then, which one of the three was a neighbour to the wounded traveller? Dead easy, said the lawyer, the man that was kind to him. Jesus answered, right then, Jimmy, just you do the same.
Well, Jamie, You've been a bit of a good Samaritan yourself over the years, because your video of the Glasgow Gospel raises money for Save the Children. And you, as you go around doing talks and things, you often use the talks to raise money for various churches and things.
Yes, indeed.
So well done you. Now, time's actually run away with us here. We could sit and chat all day. But I'm afraid the Holy Half Hour's called the Holy Half Hour, and we'll have to draw it to a close. So thank you very much for coming and doing your gig in Saltcoats last night, and for coming to the studio this morning, the morning after the night before.
My pleasure.
And we'll maybe get you back some other time. We can look into Proverbs and the Pater, for instance. But just to finish, could you maybe read us out with The Prodigal Son?
Certainly.
It's one of my favourites, probably yours and most people's, I think. So thanks again. And after Jamie's finished The Prodigal Son, we'll finish with a song about The Prodigal Son by Don Francisco.
Jesus told a story about a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Hey, Dad, can I ask you a favour? Why no gie me my share of the family gear right now to save me waiting till you're dead?" Huh. Well, the father was hurt, but agreed and split his property between the two sons. Wee while after, the younger son picked up all his gear and left him for the bright lights in the big city. Wasn't it long afore he wasted his whole fortune on the bevy and the parties and living it up. Just when he was hitting rock bottom, a terrible famine swept out of the country. He needed work right bad, but all he could get was a job with a farmer feeding the pigs. He was so famished, he could have fair eaten the beans he was giving to the pigs. Nobody took pity on him. Finally, he gets wise to his cell and says, "Ah, I'm off my heat, so I'm. And him, even my fair servants have wee looked after. Here's me starving. I'll just need to bottle my pride and go home. I'll confess to my father that I've done wrong and ask him to sign me up along with his servants." So, gets up and starts out for home. He's still a long way from his house when his father catches sight of him and runs out to meet him. He throws his arms round his son and kisses him. The boy was greeting.
"I'm sorry, Father Horace. I'm just a loser and no fit to be called your son." But his father shouted to the servants, "Fetch out some nice clean clothes for my boy, and a ring for his finger, aye, and I want you to kill the prize calf. We're going to have ourselves a right celebration this very night." Now, the big brother was coming in from the fields. When he came near the house, he heard all the music and the jigging. Caught to one of the servants, asked what was up. "Aye, your wee brother's come back home, sir, I was tell. Aye, we're celebrating like your father has even killed the prize coup for the feast." The big brother was billing and wouldn't go into the house. So the father comes out to reason with him. He answers his father, "Do hold on, father. Just you listen to me for a change. I've slaved for you all the years, and you didn't even once get a party for me. And knew that wee Yath comes back. Been on the run, and so he has. Spent all your money on booze and whores, and you kill your best coup for him." The father was hurt at all this. "My son," he says to him, "you've been here with me. You must ken that all that's mine, it's yours. But, you see, it was right to celebrate. I thought my son was dead. And he's come back to life. He was lost. And now, he's come home."
Loved you long before the time your eyes first saw the day, and everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, and Then at last you took your leave and traded off a kingdom for the lies that you've believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I'd take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. And when you've come back to your senses and you see who's been to blame, remember all the good things that were yours with just my name. And then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you'll only turn around. Just turn around. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again.